All right, you guys doing all right tonight? Good, good, good. Let's get some lights on in here, leaders. Okay, who didn't get a Bible? I forgot to pass them out. I'm a slacker. Raise your hand if you didn't get one. We'll pass those out here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is where we're going to be tonight. 1 Corinthians. Okay, keep your hand up real high. If you guys don't have a Bible of your own that you can take home, then I would love to hook you up with one. So please talk to me after service, and I'd love to get you one. But if you have a Bible, like Brett Browner, who has one, but he just doesn't bring it because he's a slacker, you need to bring it, all right? Since this is Bible study. Makes sense, right, Brett? Doesn't it? Okay, here comes the excuse. Oh, I see. Okay, well, just bring it next time. Bring it next time. Okay, now, where's our Happy Shake winner at? Where did he go? Nice. Did you like that? That was disgusting. Dude, you were down in it, man. I played that game a few times. I don't think I've ever seen anybody drink that much of it. And you had such a straight face. You were totally cool with it. I loved it. Very good. Now, for all of the other Happy Shake contestants, where are you guys at? Very nice, very nice. Okay, now, since he won, what does that make you? A loser. Yeah, let's be honest. It makes you a loser, right? In a good Christian, Jesus still loves you way, okay? But it's okay to be a loser. I was never really what you would call a winner growing up. As many of you know who have seen my yearbook pictures and laughed your heads off, I'm not going to show them to you. But when I was growing up, you know, I had that whole, the haircut thing going or not going for me. I had a bedwetting problem. I had a crooked nose because I broke it and the doctor couldn't fix it. It was just kind of a interesting time, my whole childhood. So I was curious recently. I was wondering, am I still a loser? I don't know. Maybe I am. So what I did was, I went ahead tonight, and I put on my winner necklace. Nice, huh? This is what the winners of the Happy Shake game received. And I'm very glad to have my winner necklace because it makes me feel like I am a winner, which we'll see here in just a moment. But I went online, and I just Googled loser. Just wanted to see what came up. First thing that came up was the Are You a Loser quiz, all right? So I figured, I'll give it a try. We'll see what happens. Here's the results. 37% of people are cooler than me. 63%, thankfully, I am cooler than. So I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty nice. It says the results, you're cooler than half of the people. Great work. Okay, great. So I'm like half a loser, half of a winner, I guess. So I'm feeling okay about myself. And then I decided, maybe some of you guys have gotten this in an email, I decided to take the third grade geography quiz. Have you guys done this? Okay, so basically, there's a map of the United States, 48 states, and you have to drag the name of the state onto its position on the map, all right? Shh, shh, shh. Okay, so here I am. I'm feeling okay about myself. I'm like 63% cool, you know? I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. I'm feeling all right. Well, I only got 25 of the 48 states. And I realized what a failure I was. And if I didn't already feel like a failure after only getting 25 of 48 states, then this message popped up. You have failed third grade. I was like, oh, man, I really am a failure, you know? Because, unfortunately, I am a loser when it comes to third grade geography. And I don't know how you guys would have done on this. I'd like to challenge you guys sometime. Now, thankfully, I did somewhat redeem myself. I took it again, and I got, like, 34 states that time. So I felt a little better about myself. Not as much of a loser, but I was still a little bit of a loser. Well, thankfully, although I'm a loser in third grade geography, God doesn't judge whether or not you're going to get to heaven by third grade geography, all right? That's good news for many of us, especially me, who obviously I'm not that great at it. Because, you know, sometimes we get caught up ranking things like the world ranks it. We rank stuff off of possessions, money, looks, whatever it may be. There's a lot of different things that we, ways that we rank things. And that's pretty unfortunate because God has a different system set up. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 says this, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" So a lot of times we get caught up in the worldly way of looking at stuff, whatever it may be, money, looks, whatever that system may be that we rank things in our minds or even out loud sometimes, the way we treat each other because of what you have or what you don't have. It's unfortunate, but God doesn't do that. In fact, in this instance, 1 Samuel 16, Samuel is there about to anoint the next king of Israel. You guys probably remember the story. And he's looking at all of David's brothers. And David's oldest brother is this really handsome, good-looking, muscular guy, kind of like me, okay? And so Samuel looks at this guy, and he says, "This has to be the king. This has to be the guy." And God says, "No, no, 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 no. Don't look at the outward appearance. God doesn't look how man looks. God looks at the heart. He sees past the outward appearance." And so that's where that comes from. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 is where we're at tonight. And we're going to see tonight how not to be a loser. It's a very important thing for us to know. How not to be a loser. And we're gonna learn three things that are on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. That we need to do to be a winner. Okay, let's read our text tonight. 1 Corinthians 9, starting verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should also become disqualified." Now, before we dive into our text tonight, it's important for you guys to remember this. You have to know that you're in a race if you're going to perform well in that race. Would you guys agree? If you guys didn't know you were in a race, you probably wouldn't do too good in that race. Maybe you guys have done that with a friend before, or your friend has done that to you. They're like, "Oh man, I totally beat you." You're like, "We weren't even racing." "Yeah, we were. I told you, you know." You're like, "Oh great. Well, if you would have told me, I would have totally beat you, you know." Or maybe you guys have done that before, where if you don't know that you're in a race or in a competition, it's a lot harder to compete and to perform well. Well, we are all in a race toward a destination. The difference between this race and a race that you may think like a marathon is that we want to get as many people to the finish line with us as possible. Because when you're racing, you're in a foot race, you're in a marathon, you want to be the first one, and if it's up to you, the only one who crosses that finish line. But in the race of life, we want to get as many people to the finish line of heaven as possible, helping each other out along the way. Verse 24, Paul tells us, "Run in such a way that you may obtain it," speaking of the prize, obtaining the prize. Now, let me just clarify this for you. In this case, when he says run, this is a command. The way he's speaking this, this is not just a suggestion. This is a command. You should run. This is our command to do this. Now, when something is told to us that's important for us to do, it's usually commanded to us, right? Now think about it. Let's just say you're in your house, you're messing around with a candle or a lighter, and which I know many of you, I'm sure you would never do that, right? But all of a sudden, something freak happens, you catch on fire, all right? You are now on fire. Your clothes are burning, your hair's starting to catch fire, your eyebrows just singed off, you're on fire, okay? Now, let's think. There's some important things for you to do. Now, let's just say you guys are crazy and you don't know what to do. You run down the hall to where your mom is at. Now, what's your mom going to do? Is she going to just give you suggestions? Or is she going to start screaming commands? She's not going to be like, oh, wow, I've never seen a human being burning before. That's crazy, you know? And you're like, Mom, I'm burning. I know. Huh. What should we do about that, you know? Or she's like, you know what? Let me call your dad and let's just get some advice. I don't really know what to do, you know? Or you run up to her, she's on the phone. Mom, I'm burning. Hold on, I am on the telephone. Okay, can't you see that? She's not going to do that, right? What is she going to do? She is going to scream commands. Get the water! You know, run away from your little brother so he doesn't burn, you know? Stop, drop, and roll. She's going to be screaming things, commanding you to do these things. Why is it? Because it's so important. She gives a command. That's why Paul gives us this command. It's not just a suggestion. He tells us we are, as Christians, as followers of Christ, to run this race in a way that we may obtain the prize. The great thing is, Paul doesn't just tell us we should do it. He tells us how to do it. This is like a lesson from the pros that we're going to read tonight. People pay hundreds, thousands of dollars to take lessons with professionals for sports, for musical instruments, for many different things. But we get it tonight for free. One of the greatest Christians who ever lived, he's about to tell us how he does it. And we can learn a lot from it. So we're going to learn three things tonight. Number one, run with determination. Verse 26 says, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Now, if anybody has a reason to be determined and to be excited about their goal, it's a Christian. Verse 25, we just read it, says, Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. People get trophies. People get letter jackets and plaques and winner medals, you know, lots of stuff like that. And those are all great and all, but they're not always going to last. They're not going to be eternal. One day, those things are going to break. They're going to get boxed up and shipped off to Goodwill with all the rest of your stuff, you know. Whatever it is, you're going to sell them, you're going to lose them. All of those things that we get a lot of times aren't going to last for very long. Those are perishable. They won't last forever. And it's because of that that we shouldn't worry too much about them. But on the other hand, a follower of Christ can run with determination because we can know that our reward is eternal, that it's never going to die. And when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he is the only way to get to heaven. No matter what great things you may do in life, they're never going to get you there. You got to trust in God. And that's the only way to get there. And we can know that Jesus is there. He is imperishable. Our reward that's waiting, heaven, is imperishable. And there's not a lot of things that we can really trust in this life. There's a lot of things that are perishable. You know, your skin one day is going to wrinkle. You're going to get old. You're, you know, whatever. Money gets spent or lost. In fact, the other day, I was looking in the mirror. I found a gray hair. I'm 23 years old. What is happening to me, you know? I guess I'm just going to be a white old man. I don't know. But I, you like that, Philly? So every once in a while, stuff that we, you know, maybe never even think is going to go bad goes bad. And we can't always trust in stuff. Well, I have great news for you guys. God's love will never do that. It'll never wrinkle. It'll never get old. It'll never dry up. It'll never get broken. It'll never get lost. In fact, let me give you guys one of my favorite verses about that. Romans 8, 38 through 39. You can write that down. Paul says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that we never have to worry about God giving up on us. Now, there is a point at the end of life where we have to think about where we're at with Him. And if we get to the end of this life and we've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not that He doesn't love us anymore, but it's become judgment time. And God is a just God. So we need to run with determination. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." That's what it's all about. Look to Jesus. That's how you can run with determination. Don't run with uncertainty. So number one, run with determination. Number two, fight with direction. Fight with direction. Again, verse 26, Paul says, "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." Now, how many of you guys own a Nintendo Wii? If you don't know what it is, then you don't own one, all right? Nintendo Wii is basically, it's like a PlayStation kind of thing, except you have hand controllers in your hands, they're wireless, and you play the games like, you know, tennis, like you have a racket, or baseball, like you're swinging a bat with these controllers in your hands. Or you can even play boxing or bowling, all right? Now, recently I played a Nintendo Wii. I was up at Isaac's house in Santa Fe, and I played his Wii that he has up there. In fact, he on his Wii, he made characters that look like Jen and I, okay? Yeah, they're called Mii's. So there we are in the upper left-hand corner. That's me with my glasses, and that's Jen. Look how scary she looks. She's like going to bite me or something. But that's me, Kevin and Jen. There's Isaac and I on the other side. And down below, that's us in the middle of a boxing match, all right? Because I faced off with Isaac. And we're just going at it, trying to punch each other. Now, the thing with Isaac is, he's had it for longer than I've played it. And so he has some strategy. And he blocks he blocks my punches. He moves around. He dodges. And he waits for time. Me, I'm just flailing, you know, just like this. Any way I can swing my arm, I'm swinging it. And I'm punching like 2 times a second. And it's wearing me out. By the first round, I'm like, you know, and Isaac's like, "Yeah, come on, punk," right? About ready to lay me out. And we actually both won a round. I was amazed. But he had some strategy behind it. I had no strategy. My arms were just flailing through the air. I was that person that Paul's talking about here, one who beats the air. Maybe you guys have done a pinata before at a birthday party. You guys know how that is, right? You spin around 10 times. You're blindfolded. You have no idea where that thing's at. Everybody's making fun of you because you're dizzy and stumbling all over the place. And you're trying to swing to get candy that you can't even see. You don't know where the pinata is. And that person that's lowering up and down has like that evil science, you know, laugh. You know, and they're just laughing as they go up and down and up and down. And you're beating the air. You can't hit anything. You're not accurate at all. There's no strategy. You're trying, but it's so hard. That is not a great way to fight. Well, remember we talked about how we're in a race? We're also in a fight, if you didn't guess already. But let me tell you, we are not in a fight against other people. Remember what we talked about at the beginning. This race is different from many other races. We want to help people get there. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realms." It's because of this that we're not fighting against each other that we have to have some strategy when we go out to fight. Because right after that verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, verses 13 through 18 talk about, you guys have probably heard about it, the armor of God. And it talks about many different things, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. These things that we should wear, that we should carry with us. Now, not literally. Obviously, we don't all have to like come dressed to Velocity in armor. Can you guys imagine? Clank, clank, clank. Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's your sword? I kind of like that one, you know? That's not how it has to be. We don't have to wear armor all the time, but spiritually, we should be ready for battle. We should be ready to face the enemy that's out there. So the Bible talks very strategically about this, that we shouldn't just fight as one who beats the air, but we should fight strategically. There's a lot of different ways to do that. Reading your Bible is a great way to do that. Fighting strategically, waking up in the morning, disciplining yourself to get up and read the Bible a little bit, maybe while you're eating breakfast, maybe right before, maybe right after, whatever it is. That's one way, resisting temptation, being a witness at school. Those are ways to fight with direction, with purpose behind what you're doing. So don't fight as one who beats the air. Fight with direction. And then number three, win with discipline. This is how you win. Verse 27, Paul says, "But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." Now, don't get the wrong idea here. We think of the word discipline, and you automatically, I know my mind thinks back to a wooden spoon that I used to get spanked with, okay? Not the kind of, wooden plank or a hockey stick, okay? I don't know what, the belt, all right? I don't know what it is for you, but when I think of discipline, this is what I think of. This is not the kind of discipline. It's not like, I've been a bad boy today. That's not it, okay? This is not, Kevin, don't make me take off my belt. I'm going to whip you, boy, all right? It's not like whipping yourself, okay? It's not the kind of self-discipline that you have to have. Not what I'm talking about. But these are daily disciplines, like we just talked about. Reading God's word, prayer, resisting temptation. Those are daily disciplines. And that is one way that we can guarantee a win, is when we will discipline ourselves. Take these things seriously. And these things take discipline. They don't come naturally. It takes devoting time to perfect them, to get good at them. And we're never going to be perfect, but we need to do our best to work toward the goal God has for us. Because these things are not easy. Resisting temptation is completely unnatural. It's natural to give in. It's natural to indulge in temptation. But resisting it is a great way to win with discipline. I like how the Living Bible rewords this verse. It says, "Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it roughly, training it to do what it should, not what it wants to. Otherwise, I fear that after enlisting others for the race, I myself may be declared unfit and ordered to stand aside." Now, here's the danger with this passage. It's easy to walk away from here tonight learning these three ways to not be a loser, to be a winner. And it's easy to begin thinking that it's about our outward actions that earns us God's love or earns us heaven or whatever it may be, or even just makes us feel better about ourselves because we've been good today or whatever it is. It's not necessarily about that. It's easy to start thinking that, but that's not the purpose behind it. You may think, well, I've been determined, I've had direction, I've been disciplined today, so I'm doing pretty good. But remember, you can't earn God's love. And as you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as you devote your life to Jesus Christ, these things should automatically begin to be a part of your life. You should have some direction. God will give you determination to look past the circumstances that can easily get you down and look forward to Jesus Christ and your reward that is imperishable. And you can begin to be disciplined, resisting those things that you shouldn't be a part of, doing the things that you know you should. That's what it's all about, and that's the way we should all be living. Sometimes that's pretty hard. And there's a lot of competitions that are pretty hard, whether that's sports or, you know, some kind of game or something like that. How many of you guys think you're really good at rock, paper, scissors? Anybody? Nice. Now, a lot of people would say rock, paper, scissors is all luck, you know? A lot of people would say that. Unfortunately, many people across the United States would disagree with that statement. Because people, actually, I found out today, people have websites dedicated to rock, paper, scissors. You can take online classes on how to play better. You can learn tips. You can watch videos of people playing rock, paper, scissors, okay? You can learn the rules of competition. There, you can sign up for tournaments, okay? This, in fact, there's a World Rock, Paper, Scissors Corporation that gets people together and they play rock, paper, scissors. That's crazy. Now, a lot of people would say, oh, that game's all about luck. But these people would definitely disagree. In fact, last weekend, Sunday, May 13th, people from all over the United States had a rock, paper, scissors tournament. It was in Las Vegas. National tournament. In fact, trained referees were at the tournament watching each game. People had to be trained in the art of rock, paper, scissors to know the rules, know when to call a foul. You can actually get a foul in rock, paper, scissors. In fact, at this tournament, paramedics were on hand. Just in case, this is what the news article said, just in case of wrist or shoulder dislocations. Now, if you're, seriously, if you're throwing scissors that hard, you've got bigger problems, you know? Trying to punch the other person to win or something. Turns out a guy from Texas won. He won $50,000 for doing rock, paper, scissors. Isn't that crazy? That seems like a pretty easy 50 grand to me. And I don't know, personally, rock, paper, scissors doesn't seem, I don't think that it takes a lot of skill or strategy. Of course, I'll bet that guy from Texas would not like it if I said that, you know, and he would say that he's like the most skilled player ever or whatever. I don't know, whatever it is. But when it comes to following Christ, there definitely is strategy involved. Now, a lot of people say, well, I read all about the rock, paper, scissors strategy online. That's how I got so good. Okay, cool. You know, you have three choices. It can't be that hard, right? But they say they have a lot of strategy. That's great. When it comes to following Christ, there is a lot of strategy involved. Don't be a loser when it comes to that. Take that strategy and act on it. Live that way. Live by these things. The three that we learned tonight, run with determination, knowing that your reward is waiting for you. The author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is there. Run with determination. Fight with direction. Strategically facing and resisting temptation and struggles all around you. And then win with discipline. Don't be lazy about following Christ. Following Christ is one of the most exciting ways to ever live your life. Because there are so many things that you can't even imagine waiting on the horizon for you when you're obedient. It's that simple. And the more you begin to trust Jesus and step out in faith and live the way that he would want you to live, representing him, he is going to blow your mind, I can guarantee it. He is going to take you places that you would have never dreamed about. God has such a big plan, and he loves every single one of you in this room tonight. No matter what you've done, no matter who you've done it to, it doesn't matter. Jesus is ready to forgive when you're ready to confess. You guys have to understand tonight, if you don't leave with anything else tonight, that you need Jesus to get to heaven. A lot of people try to get there a lot of different ways, but you'll never get there without a relationship with Jesus. Don't be a loser. Trust in Christ. He is the ultimate victory, and he gives it to us. Romans 8:37, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Let's pray. Jesus, we do thank you that we can be more than conquerors through you. And God, I just lift up anyone in this room tonight who does not have a relationship with you. I don't know who those people are, but you know who they are, and they know who they are. And God, I just pray that you would bring conviction and discomfort into their lives, Lord. And even in our lives, as those of us, many of us who have made a decision to follow you, Lord, I pray that you would begin to point out the areas in our lives that we haven't given to you. Make us uncomfortable in those areas. God, help us to serve you and to follow you in all that we do, to love you, to be faithful. And Lord, we know that you have given us the victory, and we thank you for that, Lord. Be with us tonight as we go, and show us every day, Lord, how we can live more and more for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. If you need some prayer or have questions or anything like that, we'll have leaders up here at the front.